Hey, here we go. Right. Welcome, good evening. 12 man podcast. Live, uninterrupted. Because my hands are up here. Got me, Mr. Jackson. I'm in the main chair as usual. Mr. John Cutler's with me. Evening, Cut.
Evening.
How are we doing?
All good. I'm sure all the listeners have tuned in for the rematch tonight. Who is it we've got?
In the red corner. From the deepest depths of Middlesbrough. He eats parmos for his breakfast. It's Mr. John Donovan. And in the black and white corner, all the way from Wall's End, it's the opinionated debater, Mr. Steve Dixon. Well, let's get rid of the debate. Let's be honest, that's what
that was superb. That.
They're not bothered about us, Steve. They just want to listen to you two again.
That's why I booked Dally. That's why I booked him. So, yes, that was the voice of Jamie Delgado was with us. Evening, Dally, guys. Right. And then, as he's nicely introduced to the world, got Mr. John Donovan's with us. Evening, John Don.
No, then, you all right?
Yeah, we're good, mate, we're good. And apparently in the black and white corner, we've got Mr. Steve Dixon. How are you doing, Dicko?
Good evening, lads. I'm a little bit tired, but maybe he's got 6 rounds out of us.
Bit like Anthony Joshua, then. Right, here we go, then. Let's talk Borough. Let's talk Preston. We'll have a quick chat about Preston because it's worth mentioning that was a massive win Tuesday night. It was a good win as well. It was strong. We absolutely battered them considering they're supposed to be a playoff team. And then we'll talk Saturday. A lot of opinions about Saturday because I'm fully going in John Don's corner now. I'm in John Don's corner. After watching Saturday's game, I'm fully in the corner. Let's see, because. Yeah, I'll go into that when we go into it. And Saturday, got Ipswich. Another big game. It's another scary game. They're absolutely flying at the moment. Really are flying. So, yeah, get your thoughts in, get your messages in and stuff, and we'll go through them as we crack on. Right, Tuesday. That's how are you, Dally? Good win Tuesday, wasn't it?
It wasn't what I expected, if I'm honest with you. I was there for a 1-H. I didn't expect us to roll a team over like Preston as easy as we did. Like you say, to say they're in the playoff positions, I didn't expect them not to be as on it as they weren't. So, no, it was a good win. We played some good stuff.
It was a very good win.
And a clean sheet, which was massive.
Yeah, I mean, I'll come to you, Cuts. Obviously, the goals that were scored. I mean, I think I tweeted about it. Was it Thursday or Friday? Because Borough put out about the first goal, obviously Izzy's goal. But, I mean, it is a good goal, fair enough, but that wasn't the best goal of the night.
That touch from Rodgers for...
Oh, the third goal.
Absolutely world-class. Any player... If that had been Messi or Ronaldo, it would have been all over Sky Sports News, repeated about a million times a day. It was absolutely world class. That
it was total football, wasn't it?
Yeah, we played some cracking stuff. To be fair,
I think in that whole first half, we just absolutely blew them away. I don't think as much as Preston didn't come out and press us and let us play with the ball as much as we did, they couldn't get anywhere near us. We were just a step quicker. We were just superb. I mean. It was a good night at the top of the North Stand, wasn't it, John Don? It was lively. It was loud. See, I thought the North Stand was really loud on Tuesday night. It was a cracking atmosphere, and four cracking goals. A debut goal for the left back but his first goal for the left back as well. Bangura. They say I know it was deflected, but still, not a nice way to round off a really good win.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and if you can't get behind your team, on a performance like that and 3-0 up at half time, you know, then when can you get behind them? But yeah, it was a good atmosphere. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, well, a lot easier than I expected. I don't know. I expected more of Preston, but they just didn't sort of, they didn't rattle us. They didn't get into us. And I thought they would have done. I mean, top six team. I know this division is strange and most teams can beat most others, but it was just a far too comfortable of a win. I still enjoyed it though, and it was great, like you say, to come away 4 goals to the plus, clean sheet. Set us up nicely for Saturday.
It did, it really did set us up nicely for Saturday. That's easy for me to say. But yeah, it was a really good, solid win, Dicko, and as I say, it sent the fans home really happy, because it was I know the Riverside's freezing usually during the winter, but Tuesday night was absolutely Baltic. I mean, it was absolutely freezing. That's it. Obviously, the atmosphere helped, but it was freezing Tuesday night.
Great win. This is what Yusuf Ball said. I was just like you, I was disappointed in Preston. Thought they were a real, real poor side on the night. They never even had a shot on target all game, which is unusual in the Championship. But as poor as Preston were, I thought Middlesbrough played really well. It was a thoroughly professional performance from her. Scored some great goals. There were some excellent performances in the team. You know, Vandenberg going back to centre-back, had a good game, nicked a goal. Bangura done well at full-back, nicked a goal. Zaya Jones was a threat. It was a real all-round good team performance. And second half, you know, we took the foot off the pedal a little bit, which would be expected when you're 3-0 up, but we still kept going and got a fourth goal to send everybody home happy. It was a good night and a good performance.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
But we're a good home team, to be fair. It's, you know, I fancy Middlesbrough against any side in the division at home. We showed that against Leicester lately and Birmingham lately. And, you know, it was another clean sheet following on from the clean sheet against Leicester. So, a good night.
Yeah, it was a really good night. As I say, I know, like you said there, we did step off the gaffes a little bit, didn't we, in the second half. We took it a bit easy. But I can't remember being stood there going, what a save that was from Dieng on Tuesday. I really can't. It was... it was easy, wasn't it?
Took the foot off the gas. But what I mean is... We didn't need to go and get 5, 6, 7 when we had the big game against Leeds coming up and... You know, save a little bit of energy and was professional. And like you say, we defended well and didn't let Preston get back in. I have a sniff. I nicked a goal. Defended really well and was a really good performance.
Oh yeah,
the biggest threat was Sonny Dieng pulling his hamstring celebrating.
Oh no! That's the most work he did all night, wasn't it? Like we were all jumping about when we scored, and I looked at the floor and went, "Oh God!"
You talk about the cold, and he was, you know. He didn't have any work to do. So I think he jumped up.
It's twins, and he's gone, oh God, that doesn't feel right. But he got through it. And the reason I brought that up is obviously because I say he didn't have much to do. It was a really weird performance from Preston. I say not what I expected from a playoff chasing team at all. So
I think you've got to give us a lot of credit for the way we knocked the ball around. To be honest. I think. You can talk about pressing all you want, but like Dicko says at home, I fancy us against anyone in this division, and we've seen what we're like for scoring goals and creating chances. And unluckily for Preston, but great for us, everything we touched on Tuesday seemed to end up in a goal. It was great to watch.
It was brilliant to watch, and that's why I tweeted out on, I say, it was either Thursday or Friday. When we play good football, we really do play good football. It's like everything connected on Tuesday night. It was just great to watch. It was really good. Really good win. Right, that's a good bit. Let's talk about Saturday. Right.
So no one was man the match on Tuesday.
I mean, do you want to give one? I could give about 7, to be fair.
I thought, even though he's had quite a bit of criticism, I thought Barlasser was good on Tuesday night. So I'm going to say that first of all, but I thought Jones was excellent.
Yeah.
Had a massive threat. Should have really had a happy...
He really should have.
I think it was Jones' best performance I think I've seen from Peterborough yet.
Yeah, I thought he was unplayable.
Yeah, I
don't know who their left back was, but he had a right nightmare against him. He didn't know which way he was going with him. So, John, your man of the match from Tuesday?
Jones.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go.
Yeah, I would have loved it if he got the hat trick in first half. That would have been. That would have been excellent, but he looked lively, took his goals well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, he gets it for me.
Absolutely, Dicko.
I thought the changes in defence all worked. Both full backs were decent, and I thought Vandenberg was very good at centre back. Obviously, Isaiah Jones was the match winner with his goals, but I thought Max Crooks was the best player on the pitch. I thought he controlled the game. His passing was really, really good on the night, and best I've seen Matt Crooks play for a while, so I'll go Matt Crooks.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning Vandenberg as well, because he looked really comfortable, didn't he?
He looks very natural, didn't he? Yeah.
Very comfortable on the ball, good at bringing it out and passing it to wherever it needs to go. Yeah, I thought he looked really good at centre-half, to be fair.
He did. He looked really good. I know Jason said he was his man of the match from Tuesday, so mine was Jones. I thought Jones was absolutely unplayable at times. Yeah, really, really good. It was just... apparently, Senedien, it was his... What's his glutes? Is that his arse?
I don't know if that means guts. I don't know.
But apparently that's what Alan Fettis said after the game, so he's obviously the goalkeeping coach. So there we go. Right, Saturday. Unchanged from Tuesday. I'm with Cuts on this. You don't change a winning team. You don't. Was that brave or was that stupid?
Well, for me, you don't change it. Say it week in, week out. And I think with the current injuries we've got, if you look at the bench really, who could you make an argument for starting? Possibly only Coburn. I think if you look at the rest of the bench, I don't think they've done enough to out anyone who was starting. So I was happy enough with the team with what we've got.
Does the bench, John Don, show how much we're struggling with injuries at the moment?
Well, yeah, I think we all know, you know, the numbers... they're stacked up even greater now. But yeah, I mean, you look at the players getting treatment, and the majority of them would be in your starting 11 normally if we had everybody available. So yes, it does. I mean, it is a reflection of that.
Yeah, it really is. Diggo, what did you make of the starting 11? Obviously, it's exactly the same as Tuesday night. Thoughts?
I thought it was as strong as
right,
we could.
Sorry, Steve, one minute. If you were going to start talking, I've just got to go and nip and get a shower. All right.
Here we go. Round one.
I've just got in from work. So, I mean, give me 15 minutes. You should be finished by then, shouldn't you?
Give us 20. You get a dry. Tell yourself off. starting 11. Yeah. Strongest as we could go with what we had available. The only change I would have made would have been if Hayden Hackney was fit. He gets in my team every day of the week if he was fit, but he wasn't. So, yeah, it was as strong as we could go. I wouldn't have changed it.
Has it been mentioned what's actually wrong with Hayden?
I've not seen that. It's the same way.
Was it groin?
I think it was another tight hamstring. Tight hamstring. I think Fry was his groin. I think Hackney had a tight hamstring.
If one of you said groin, was, yeah. The other one was saying hamstring anyway. So it doesn't matter. Left one,
not
his right one.
round two.
It's the same. To be fair, we've kept injuries pretty quiet, haven't we?
Well,
I mean, does anyone even know what's up with McGree still? Because it seems like you don't hear. Obviously has had an operation, which the show.
Yeah.
Or Brian, someone mentioned, I think, on Twitter the other day that they'd seen it in the Gazette that he's not too far away, but I've not heard now about that either.
No.
Like we said a few weeks ago.
McGree's his heel.
Is it his heel? Oh.
Yeah, it's his heel and the sort of arch of his foot. I don't know which one, left or right. What do you reckon, Dicko? You go on
that. Oh, God. Who's scoring this? Where's your judges on this? But, it's not looking great injury-wise all of a sudden. But,
well, if you look at the players we've got out there, Hackney, McGree, O'Brien, 100% they're starting in our first 11. Then you've got Paddy from Saturday, who went off injured.
Yeah.
And then, well, there's obviously Dale Fry, who would make my bench. other than that, we are missing it. It's a lot of talent for our football club. And they're all decent players at this level.
Well, you've missed out Hackney Force. You know that there's a...
Yeah,
there's
Marcus Force, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody know what's wrong with him? Like, it's great that we're keeping it quiet. It really is, because I don't like when stuff's leaked, like stuff like that. But it's... Yeah.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is, they're not leaking it, and then the next time you see them, they're all on the hospital bed, saying, "I'm out for the season." Like, thanks for the support. And
big thumbs up.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean, mate. But yeah, before I talk about the game, I want to talk about what happened before the game. I don't know if you experienced this, John, when you went in the ground either, but I thought it was an absolute shambles the way it was ran. because like, we got into the turnstiles. I can't remember you because you were before me because I had to scan your ticket because you couldn't quite work out where the scanner was. pushed you through the turnstile, and then we were stood for what seemed an eternity, and then more and more people were being piled in the turnstiles by the stewards. It just seemed like it was an absolute crush getting into that upper tier, like getting up them stairs. It was an absolute joke.
For today's football that we're used to, mm-hmm. it was, and the correct word to use it was a shambles, really, mm-hmm. because something pretty serious could have happened there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just in the turnstiles downstairs, which are not the concourses, which are not the biggest. Going up the stairs, all the stair flights were rampacked with fans. I know they wouldn't have this day and age, but it was as if more tickets had been sold than there was actual seats available.
Mm.
And you rightly mentioned it, the police, and their answer, again, was disgusting. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
Now, in this day and age, we've seen what can happen in the past, and nobody obviously wants to see anything like that happening again, but I would imagine it's the same every week there, and they're not doing that about it.
Yeah, I mean,
it was chaotic, to be honest. Yeah. It was chaotic, and like you say, for 10, 15 minutes after getting through the turnstile, you were just sort of crammed like sardines, being ushered sort of up the stairs to the upper tier where we were sat. But it was a shambles. I mean, I can't describe it any other way. You were getting stopped with your ticket checked several times. I mean, I don't understand.
Well,
I don't understand why that's the situation. Once you've got in through the turnstile and you're heading towards upper or lower tier, you then don't need a check of your ticket at the bottom of the stairs, a check of your ticket at the top of the stairs, and then when you go to the steps to go into the ground, if you want assistance and to find out where your seat's located, you can ask it. But they were just delaying all the way, and people behind were getting frustrated, and I know there was a few little, shall we say, arguments and scuffles went on, you know, because just born out of frustration, really.
It was an absolute shambles. I took my flag with me, and I got asked, I'd say at least four or five times, have you got a certificate for that? And I thought, well, your mates just asked me that. You know what I mean? Can't you ask each other, like, just give the thumbs up down this... That steel corridor as well, from the car park, what was that? That was a weird one.
Yeah, that's a new sort of, entrance from fans on the coaches, isn't it? And it's a bit draconian, and they've gone back to sort of like the 80s, haven't they? With your hemmed in a steel cage.
I mean,
and I asked a copper on the way out. I said, "Is this really necessary?" And he just said, "It's for your safety." Well, not really. You know, when it's only away fans going there, it's not really for our safety.
Exactly.
Just anyway. But yeah, it was
the
just
whole thing. If anything, was hindering our safety, not
big time. Big time. As I say, you probably spoke the same copper I did, that's to say, well, your guess is as good as mine, Mason. I thought, are you joking? Like, are you actually joking? Like, the stewards didn't have a clue what was going on. The coppers were just stood there watching you and then jumped in when you were trying to question it. It just wasn't a great experience of Elland Road.
You wouldn't expect it in League Two, never mind a big club in the Championship.
No, of course you wouldn't. As I said, FA Cup second round was the weekend just gone, and I can't imagine any fans going to the bigger clubs that were left in the draw at that stage had that experience, you know, going to enjoy their big day out at a team that's higher level above. Like Harrogate went to Bolton on Saturday, you know, games like that. No, it was a shambles, an absolute shambles, and I thought, I've got to mention something, because it wasn't the amount of people that were kicking off about it in the concourse, and rightly so. So something had to be said.
My final word is it didn't feel safe at times.
Nope.
Not so much for me, but I know for like youngsters or shall we say frail pensioners or people who had sort of difficulty with mobility, it's got to be frightening. It's got to be a bit dangerous. It just wasn't nice.
Yeah, it really was. As I say, obviously, it was fine for me because it'll take a bulldozer to crush me, so I wouldn't worry about me. But yeah, you know, it wasn't great. And watching young lads try to get in, and they looked a bit panicky, and they were like, "Nah, it's a joker." So something had to be mentioned. So
well, Lee Fish has just said there that from his vantage point, a lot of rows had far more people in than there was seats available.
So. Oh, they were all over the stairs and everything when we because obviously we were close to where the concourse went in, and literally there was just people everywhere, and the stewards were just looking at you. And obviously we had that little walkway as well between like the upper and lower tier as well. So we just stood on it, and I thought, that's so safe. But hey, what do I know? I'm not authority, so you know. Anyway, let's talk about the game. I mean, we did get in cut, and God, we were over several chairs as soon as we got in, because we missed kickoff, and then 30 seconds later, Lyon laughs, pinging top corner.
That was a cracking start, wasn't it?
Oh wow. Wow.
Bangura with the ball down the left, played him in, turned the centre half, or was it the full back as if he wasn't there, and smashed it in. They can ask questions about the goalkeeper, but from our point of view, who cares? It was a great start and a great finish from Laiella.
I said you didn't have before the game, their keeper's not great. Melier.
I think when you watch it on the replay, I think Jones runs across him.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think that's what causes the confusion.
Yeah.
A little bit glad there's no VAR. it was a great goal, wasn't it?
Ah, it was a hell of a start. And say, I know we just talked about like people being all over the shop, but people were all over the shop when that went. It was absolutely madness. It was class. But I mean, yeah, it was just unreal. I loved it. But one thing that was mentioned on the way home, John Dom, when you go 1-0 up so quick, your plan kind of goes out the window because you've got to then take that step back, take in what's just happened, and then just solidify a 1-0 lead. And we really didn't, did we? We thought, these are here for the taking here. We're going to go for a second. And it really did cost us.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the game that they played against Swansea. Swansea took the lead early. And again, within a couple of minutes, Leeds had sort of like went up the other end and equalised. Yeah, we really needed, in hindsight, we really needed just to take the sting out of that game for five or 10 minutes if we could. You know, keep the ball, you know, we don't need to press forward. Just keep the ball away from them. If we needed to knock it long for Lath to chase onto, then so be it. But we were the creators of our own downfall, really. I mean, we all know what happened in the next few minutes. And like I say, we really needed to just calm things down. But we allowed Leeds to sort of get back on the ball. And let's be fair. I mean, they've got a fantastic strike force. They've got threats right across the pitch from midfield and the front line. We just needed to prevent them, but we just didn't. We'll talk about it. It was mistakes, wasn't it?
It was mistakes. I mean, you rightly say about their front line. I mean, if you go back to, let's say, the beginning of the season, one striker I purposely mentioned was Joel Pirro. I mean, if we're getting 13 million quid from Ajax, I'd be pumping that straight back in to go and get Joel Pirro. Straight in. He is a top striker at this level. I say, I think he's kicking double digits already this season. I know what we've got is okay, and I'm fine with that, but Joel Pirro is top quality championship striker. And yeah, I say, he feeds on chances like that. I know he only scored the penalty on Saturday, but he was all over our back line. He was so good. As I say, it was a joy to watch, to be quite honest.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, well, but you know what I mean. He was good. He was very, very good. But it made it even worse. It go. We didn't learn our mistake from the equaliser, because straight away from the equaliser, we seemed a bit rattled, a bit, oh God, what's happened? And the hitters again. And all of a sudden, we went from 1-0 up in 90 seconds. To 2-1 down in 6.5 minutes. How's that happened?
Well, to be honest with you, this is the sort of debate I have with JD. It's Middlesbrough away from home, are completely different to Middlesbrough at home. at home, you know, we're a tough team to beat. We're quite resilient. We do keep clean sheets. We score a lot of goals. And I fancy we're against anybody. But away from home, I feel the total opposite. We get involved in basketball games every week where the ball's just going up and down the pitch. And it depends which way you look at it. It's really entertaining. Yeah, it's entertaining. There's lots of goals. But if you look at the last four away games, we beat Exeter 3-2, Plymouth 3-3, lost to Bristol 3-2, and Leeds 3-2. We've scored 11, conceded 11 and scored 10. Now, on paper, that sounds exciting. It sounds great, but not for me. It doesn't excite me one iota. I find it really, really poor. I feel it's like poor game management. Honestly, I totally get where you're coming from, right? But I watched the game yesterday, Man City against Spurs, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because I don't support either side. So I do understand what you're saying. But I support Middlesbrough, and I enjoy watching Middlesbrough win and be professional. And what I would like to see a little bit more from Middlesbrough moving forward is game management being a little bit better. And all I mean by that is we started off on the front foot, got a great goal with Latte Laugh and go 1-0 up. But then...
Show that to the camera.
I had it written in capital letters, what you've just said.
Game management.
For the next 20 minutes, what I want Middlesbrough to do is be resilient. I want to see Dan Barlasag, when he gets the ball in his own box, clear his lines. I do want to see him doing a little dink chip ball straight at the Leeds player. Next thing you know, the ball's in the back of the net.
He got caught with that. He got caught with that in the first
30
seconds of the game.
He did.
I don't want to see Senny Dieng trying to play a World Cup ball through the middle of the pitch and they're getting cut out and then the ball being played through and they get a penalty and score. I just think there's no shame. The best teams do it. The top teams do it where they get in front in the top in a big game because Leeds are one of the best teams in the league and you get in front against them away from home in a hostile atmosphere. There's no shame in just putting... Teams do it at the Riverside all the time, just for 20 minutes, but 10 behind the ball. If it comes in the box, head it. If it comes to you, it full back. Put it down the channel for Latte Laugh to run onto. Put a couple of tackles in. Take your time on throw-ins. Take your time on goal kicks. And just kill it a little bit. And I find Middlesbrough at the moment away from home, the game management's really poor and they get involved in these basketball matches that, right, we've scored 1-0 up now. We're going to try and score 2. And we keep getting done. And, you know, you go to Leeds and you score 2 goals. You shouldn't be getting beat. You go to Bristol, you score 2 goals. You shouldn't be getting beat. Plymouth, 3 goals. You shouldn't be getting a point. And it's costing us. And as exciting as it is for certain sections of the fan base, we won't be in the top 6 playing that way. Because last season, when we were doing really well and we're outscoring teams, the hard facts of it was because we had better attacking players than we have this season. So we could outscore teams. But we don't have Chuba now, a Cameron Archer, a Ramsey, a Giles whipping the balls in. And the players that are playing instead of them are good, honest players, but they're not as good quality as what we had. And so now the tables have turned from last season where we were winning games 3-2 and 4-2. We're now getting beat 4-2 and 3-2. It's quite simple for me to analyse it and go through it. So, and Michael Carrick after the game, I'll just finish on this because I don't want to go on. Michael Carrick after the game was actually get your towel ready, John. I'm nearly done. Michael Carrick after the game was actually asked. He was actually asked about it. They asked him about his game management, and his response was, "Well, what's game management? Is that just heading the ball into the stand or kicking the ball long, giving the ball away? Is that game management?" Well, yes, it is. Sometimes in football, that's what you have to do. And I'm a little concerned that it's Michael Carrick looking after Michael Carrick, sort of saying, this is the way Michael Carrick's team plays. Because it doesn't matter if we're at home, it doesn't matter if we're away, we're just going to continue to play out from the back and take risks and take risks and take risks. Well, that's okay if you're Pep Guardiola and Arteta and Postecoglou and you've got all these top players to do that. But we haven't. And these players are getting caught out because, in layman's terms, they're not good enough to do it all of the time, especially in big games and pressure situations. So if we continue to do it, Michael Carrick might end up in the Premier League, with a fantastic CV of playing great football with somebody else, because he's ticked a lot of boxes, but Middlesbrough won't make it into the Premier League playing that way because it's going to cost me. And that's my... I just think we just need to wise up away from home. We're not far off. Now, if we buy better players in January, that might make the difference, like we did last January when we brought in Ramsey and Archer. If we get a couple of better quality players up the front, where we start tipping the scales back in our favour. But at the moment...
Fan, by the way.
But no, but it's an interesting point, because it probably splits the fan base. There's probably a lot of fans think what I'm thinking, and there's probably lots of fans thinking what John thinks as well, which is, I'm not bothered, I'm being entertained by scoring lots of goals, and I would like to win, but I'm enjoying my football. So I do get it. I'm not even arguing about it. It's just the way I feel and the way I see it. It frustrates us, because for me, we've done enough against Bristol and we've done enough against Leeds and Plymouth to win all those games, and we didn't win any of them.
So I'm going to say a couple of things here. One, there's no way Carrick will change the way he's setting up. Right? I just don't think it'll happen. Whether I think it should or not, I don't think it'll happen. Number two, during the game, did I enjoy the game? Yes, I did. Full-time whistle when I'm walking away from that ground. Not just disappointment. If you ask me, did I enjoy the game? I didn't, because we lost. I don't care how well we played or how many chances we created. I didn't enjoy it because we lost. And number three, this is a bit of devil's advocate here, but you're talking about us defending and game management. So if we'd have had a certain right back who I really like, for that second goal on Saturday, when Dykesdale just stood completely still, flat-footed, he'd have got absolute pelters. So the manager's not to blame for defenders not doing their job properly in that scenario, for me.
That was first.
They should have... Dykesdale especially should have defended that goal better. The ball, possibly, someone should have stopped it coming in, but he was completely flat-footed for the second goal. Yeah. So I totally get where you're coming from, and I agree with you about the enjoyment of the game. I prefer Leeds to have had 40 shots and us to have won 1-0. We all would have done, but I think, to coin a phrase of a previous manager, it is what it is, and I think we need to get used to it.
We had enough chances in that game. Lattelaf could have had 5, possibly even 6 goals.
Yeah.
You know, so for as bad as we were defensively, you know, you touched there on Dykesdale at the back, at the back post, getting done for header. You know, I look at Paddy McNair on the first goal. He's on the 6-yard line. There's a ball coming in the box, and he's waiting for the ball to hit him on the head rather than him being in the air and getting rid of it. Mm. Matt Clark,
smallest man on the pitch, beat him in the air.
Yeah,
smallest man on the pitch beats him in the air.
And then he
scores a header.
Didn't know he was there. He's got to be in the air as a centre back, getting rid of it. Mm. You know, you look at Matt Clark. He's coming on. All right, he's brought him down for a penalty. Like you say, Senny Dieng's giving him the ball in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah,
Matt Clark. It's his first.
I know.
All right, he had a little run out against Preston, but we already said Preston were no great shape.
Yeah.
You know, he's in a hostile environment. He's got pressure on him. He fell for the lad. He's on 30 seconds and he's given a penalty away.
I know. I felt bad for him, because after that he had a really solid game. I thought he played really well.
But then you look at the other end and the chances that we had. No.
I mean, you all looked at me when I said 4-2 last Monday. And it's simply because neither team can defend. Leeds can't defend very well. We know we can't at times. There was always going to be goals in that game. It was just unfortunate we were on the other side of a 5-goal thriller.
Is it that Middlesbrough and Leeds can't defend very well, or is it because the emphasis is on attacking football, which we've moaned about not seeing for years and years under previous managers? You're attacking that much that your defenders aren't as bad as they actually look. Individual mistakes we can point out, fair enough.
Yeah.
But we've got so much attacking talent going forward, and Leeds are the same. Maybe the managers are both in the mindset, and we would have took it all day long years ago, that if you score 3, we'll score 4. And I think that's the way that both of them managers are thinking right now with the squads that they've got.
Yeah.
But if you look at the fullbacks at Bangura and Dykesdale, which come in for a lot of criticism against Leeds because they're both very poor, they both had decent games against Preston.
Yeah.
Now, they've come in against Leeds. Now, to be fair to them, they're playing against arguably the two best wingers, wide players in the league, in Somerville and James. And they were at it right from the start of the game. Somerville and James were at it at both fullbacks. Now, game, and I go back to game management. Can we not just sit in? Can we not get our wide players, Jones and Rogers, doubling up, just keeping it tight, keeping them quiet? But we were just going for it, like basketball players. We weren't tracking back and helping the fullbacks, which made them look even worse. And then you get in at half time, you know, and the game's still there for us. But we're not learning our lessons. Leeds are still carving open both flanks in the second half. Dyche still eventually gets sent off. And I just can't understand it, because you watched them against Preston, you watched them at home against Leicester, and you've seen players working for each other and grafting and putting in tackles. And Isaiah Jones against Leicester, running the hard yards and getting back and making good tackles. And then it's like chalk and cheese with the away games. You see players just, for whatever reason, sometimes cheating. I'll call a better word, cheating. Not helping the mates out. Not getting back. And we're throwing points away, which I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to keep saying it. It's going to cost us at the end of the season. And it's so frustrating, because I think, like you lot, we probably are just about good enough to get top six. And it's games like these that are going to cost us. In the games that, you know, we should be taking points from. And I find it really frustrating. And that's why I can't enjoy it. And that's why I don't find it entertaining.
See, I said this after the game. They've spent, the squad's worth quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you look at that game, we're not too far off, really. And you'd be amazed if Leeds weren't top three come the end of the season. I just don't think the gap's that much between us and them.
Yeah.
Squad-wise, it might be different.
When you look at the injuries, the team that we put out, and we went a bit gung-ho, but we had the chances.
Mm-hmm.
We've scored two goals away from home. And like you say, the players we've got missing, your McGrees, your Lenehans, you know, I don't think we're three, was it 3 points off the playoffs still?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So, you know, we're in touching distance.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get through December, get through these injuries, stay within touching distance, add to the squad in January, and then we've got to make a push for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I agree with. These problems aren't going to go away. The personnel may change. People may come back from injury and the personnel may change. But if we don't learn our lesson tactically, game management-wise, away from home, these problems will continue.
Do you think it would have been the same result if we'd had the likes of Lennon, McGree,
Smith,
Hackney, Smith? Do you think it would have been the same result?
I would say yes. And the reason for that is, at home, we've only conceded two or more goals twice all season. And that was against Stoke and QPR. We got done 2-0 for both them games. But away from home in all competition this season, we've conceded two or more goals 9 times. 9 times. It's just gone December. So we've had different teams being out there through that period of time. But 9 times we've conceded two or more goals away from home this season. So it's a habit. And it's the way we play, it's in the mindset, it's the way Carrick obviously wants to play, and I get it to a certain extent. But I just think he needs to look at it and be a little bit cleverer as a manager, and just think at certain times, in certain games, against certain opposition, like Leeds on Saturday is the prime example, in a hostile atmosphere, in a bit of a derby game, when you take the lead early on, can we not just learn to settle it down, quieten the crowd, take this thing out of the game? All good teams do that. There's no shame in it.
It's that.
Go, if the defenders done their job for their first two goals, i.e., McNair got his boots off the grass and rose in the air to out climb Dan James, and then Dykesdale wasn't flat footed and anticipated the ball quicker than Somerville did, then we wouldn't be talking about this.
But it's not just the defence, John. It's a midfield.
No, but hang on a second, Hippo. I'll shut up and let you talk all the way through. So hang on. He can have his dossier on the game, Carrick. He can plan this, he can do that, he can highlight dangers here. But if the players switch off and give them two goals, two easy goals, that do you agree we should have defended them better? They weren't quality goals. They were our mistakes. And
100%, I agree with you.
And the management, the manager, he can't legislate for that in his team talk or his is weak on the training ground building up to the game, and he must throw his hands in the air and say, what am I supposed to do?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, in that situation when you're 1-0 up, you would have more chance of not conceding two quick goals if you switched your tactics slightly and put 10 behind the ball, and also you had players like of Barlasa, instead of doing a World Cup pass out the box, just clearing his lines and putting his foot through it, your goalkeeper, Dieng, instead of playing a World Cup pass through the middle of the park, putting his foot through it, putting it down the line. It's when you defend as a team. And
which is what I said.
Jones helping his fullback out. That means Rodgers helping the fullback out. Yes, they individually
went to the show. Which is what I said at the start of the show about sometimes take the thing out of the game, put it in the channels, feed Laddie a laugh to get onto it.
Exactly. However, but we're not doing it.
However, we lost the ball through Barlasa, right? There is no way. Somerville should have got the header in front of Dykesdale. We should have dealt with that mistake, but we made a second mistake. You know, and
spot on.
I get the point about game management. I understand against better opponents, you need to sort of be a little bit smarter. However, the manager cannot legislate for a series of mistakes, and especially when you've got two small players winning headers in the 6-yard box. It's poor.
Although it sounded like you two were arguing there, you were actually agreeing with each other.
I am agreeing with him 100%. It's not a habit that we're pointing out Saturday against Leeds, and all the point I'm trying to make is it's not a habit. It's happening every week now away from home. Like I've just mentioned, the games.
Is it
every week?
Is it time?
We need to cut it out.
Sorry, is it time to start calling the players out a bit more then? Because for me, I know you mentioned about the game management. You're absolutely right, because I said straight away, you've got to take that step back. 1-0 up, 2 minutes in, take the step back. But like John Don's just said, the mistake from McNair, the mistake from Dykesdale, I'm not going to criticise Clark too much for the penalty, because he's only just come on, he's only just got into the game, and all of a sudden he's got someone running right at him. But it's individual mistakes that are costing us, and I'm noticing that a lot now.
So I've called out certain players on here in the past. I'm here to say what I see.
That's why I brought you in.
So if the same players...
Roy Walker's back again.
If the same players are making mistakes week after week after week, you drop them and next man up. So we're conceding all these goals, like Dicklow's rightly pointing out, and it is massively concerning to me. So Matt Clark's the next person who comes in.
Mm-hmm. He's the only one we've got.
I was going to say, that's the thing, that we've got no one else.
You've got to imagine being on the bench and you're a centre half, and what have we conceded? Did you say to go 12 goals in 4 away games? And you're not getting on there, apart from injuries. That's going to massively dent your confidence. If you're a professional footballer and think you can't defend better than what some of the away games we've seen recently, it's all right playing at home and keeping clean sheets at home. But if you're conceding goals left, right and centre, you're not giving yourself a chance. It doesn't matter how well we look and good going forward. If these players keep making the same mistakes, the same as Dykesdale, I'd give him another chance Saturday.
Got no choice.
Suspended.
I wouldn't play Dykesdale on Saturday. Well, who's next man in at right back?
Who knows?
I think Daly's getting his boots cleaned, isn't he?
Well, it wouldn't surprise you if Van den Berg moves to right back and Clark comes in then at centre half. What's up with Paddy? Does anyone know?
No one knows yet.
It was what? John?
Back.
Back.
Well, I tell you what, our squad's that depleted. The three statues were warming up in the car park and I was at the Van den
Berg. Well, that's it. I mean,
they turn quicker than Matt Clark as well.
I can turn quicker than that. Oh, poor lad.
Well, that penalty, I mean, he was unlucky. Well, no, he wasn't, sorry.
I was going to say.
He made the challenge. He made the challenge outside the box. Mm-hmm, but then he tried to pull him down with his hand. Tried to, pull his leg back, which was...
That's what he done. And then the player slipped as well. He was never going to score. He hadn't touched him, but it would never happen.
Exactly. It was silly. Again, we go back to rash decisions that players make. We go back to Dale Fry at Bristol City. Dykesdale, when he made that second challenge to get the second yellow card, rash, stupid, unnecessary. And that's, you know, these errors we've got to try, and we must try and get rid of them, because they're robbing us of points. These mistakes, these errors are robbing us of points, because we're a good team. And like you said, John Cutler, we give Leeds a really good game with a depleted squad, and we're not too far behind them.
Tell your agent you can have 15 minutes, all right? But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to cost us. I mean, last thing I mentioned about the game.
Is that Michael Carrick is starting right back on Saturday?
That's the call to get your boots on. But last thing I'll mention about Saturday, I mean, and I'm not going to lie to you, Cuts, I need piled into you when that ball went over from Silvera. I thought it was in. Yeah. I thought it was in. I thought, oh, Jesus. Have we not scored? Have we not scored that?
I mean, it sounds like a really negative podcast, this.
But it's not.
If we'd have nicked a point on Saturday, we'd have all been here waxing lyrical, saying, what a great point, 3-3 away from home at Leeds, one of the promotion favourites. It's just fine margins. We're just so disappointed that we're losing games that we probably shouldn't be losing.
Dick would have been through. We'd have managed the game really well with 10 men. Yeah,
I would have been buzzing with a point. I would have been, because we deserved the point. And that's the whole argument. We're losing points to teams that were actually outplaying. We outplayed Bristol. We outplayed Plymouth, in my opinion. And we've come away with 1 point from three games. Yeah. And we've arguably deserved 2 wins in a draw. You know,
John, take yourself off mute first, mate, and then you can make your point.
Reverse there, mate, reverse. You said we were garbage at Bristol.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
We've been through this, boys.
Here we go.
But you can't say 1 week we were garbage and then the next week say we outplayed them.
What I said, we were the better team at Bristol. But we were garbage because we took the game away.
Listen back again later, you just said we outplayed them.
Well, we did in long periods of the game, we did, yeah.
We're the better side,
but my point is still the fact the way we chucked that game away was garbage. And I won't change my opinion on that.
Garbage. Right, man of the match is time, I think. And then we'll talk about the injuries going into the Ipswich game. Cutter, who's your man of the match for Saturday?
2 goals, centre-forward. I've said in the past, I think he's got goals in him, and I think he's improving every week. I'm going to give it a lie a laugh. His heading was really good for a small guy. It was a great finish, that.
Dally?
We could have had a good 10-minute debate on that, but I'm going to go with Johnny Elson.
Oh, what's the 10-minute debate on?
I didn't think he was... I think he scored 2 goals, but I think he had another 4 chances he should have put away. And I know if he'd scored those, he wouldn't be playing for the football club.
Yeah.
But
that's the margins.
I think he has to take it on the keeper and score.
Yeah.
The one across the 6-yard box.
I think I could have rolled myself towards that league.
But we don't have 10 minutes left, so we won't.
So we've got no defenders, and we've got a centre forward who's worse than Dally's 9-year-old.
Yeah,
scores 2-6. There you go, 2-6. That's a good rally, huh? John Don, your man of the match?
Laugh.
9 minutes of it.
That was easy, wasn't it? Laugh. Right. Dicko?
I agree with you. That's, I think Laddie laugh. Yes, he missed chances, but he's a threat, and he got 2 goals, and I'll take my striker every week being a threat and scoring a couple of goals and missing a couple of chances every game. I think he's done well.
Yeah, I made a full house laugh. I thought he was really good. Yeah, he was good, like house, though.
It's tough on Housen at the moment, because we've just named the players there that are missing from our midfield, and without mentioning, none of us particularly think he's a world beater, by Lasse. It's quite tough for Housen at the minute, the amount of ground he's having to cover for a guy at that age. I think although we're conceding goals and he's supposedly a defensive midfielder, he's still putting in a shift every week, Housen.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
for
right.
two consecutive games, we've scored direct from a corner, and they've been decent deliveries by Balassa.
I know. That's gone unnoticed, hasn't it?
To be fair,
no comment.
One set playing, how long was he on? 83 minutes on Saturday. Might as well have not been on Saturday for the rest of it. So.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm taking credit for it, because I called him out on his corners being so poor and his deliveries being so poor. And since then, he's done back-to-back assists from corners. So
I know.
There you go. He must listen.
I
Hand of Berg. But yes, them two goals do take like a laugh to top scorer for the Borough this season. Six goals he's got now.
I mean, I've been impressed with Coburn, but I think if both of them started exactly the same games against the same teams, I'd take Lighty Laugh to score more goals than Coburn.
I think Coburn needs a partner.
It's not a criticism.
I'd put the pair of them in.
I said last week, Coburn win the headers, Lighty Laugh run on behind him.
Yeah.
It might work, but managers, for some strange reason, are obsessed with this centre forward and then three players playing behind, and that no one will ever play 4-4-2 again in the history of football. Mike Bassett, get him in charge, 4-4-2. Coburn and Laugh up front, I'll take it with the wingers we've got at all.
Cheers for the Mexicans.
Yeah, that Ramirez was good, wasn't he?
It's like managers though, it's like a copycat league.
No, you're right.
If one manager played 4-4-2 and it became successful, they'd all be doing it next
year. Absolutely right. They've all watched Pep Guardiola do it very successfully with that Manchester City millions and billions or whatever they spent on that squad, and think, yeah, we could do that. We could probably do that. They can't. It's impossible to replicate.
His minutes per goal is like the laugh. If he continues, he should end up with about 19 goals this season. So I think we'd all take that.
Definitely.
I'd be happy with that. Very
I'd
happy.
Be happy if four of them were on Saturday.
Just one more that's on Saturday.
One thing that goes unnoticed about Laugh, he doesn't have to put a shift in. He doesn't have to cover that front line.
He's got some pace as well.
He grafts.
You could see every time he ran at the centre-halves of Leeds, they were terrified.
He just reminds me, when he's running with the ball, he reminds me a lot of Adama Traore, where his legs are a bit too quick and he can't sometimes pull it back. And I think as the season's gone on, he has got better at that.
He just hasn't got Pulis screaming, Adama, every 2 seconds at him. So, but no, you're absolutely right. He is getting his game management is actually quite good. So it is very, very good. So fair play to him.
No, he's improving, and that's all you want, you know.
Exactly.
He wasn't starting games, but now he is. We're seeing players improve throughout the season, which is what you want, because you know, Rodgers started off. I know he was in an unfamiliar position, but then he's had games where he's looked very useful. So that's all you want from your players if they're improving as they get a bit more confidence, a few more minutes under the belt.
Yeah,
it's all you can ask for.
Absolutely, I rate him. Rate Rodgers big time. I think he'll be a great player in the future. Really do. Excuse me. Cup draw. I think you quickly mentioned it, Dally. Who did we get?
Yeah, Aston Villa at home. Good draw, I think. Good, you know, Premier League team at home. Get a decent crowd in, and let's see how we are against, you know, top Premier League club.
It's a top four Premier League club at the moment, isn't it? They're absolutely flying. So
don't get me wrong, you know, we all want a cup run. I love the Carabao Cup. I love the Carabao Cup. I love the FA Cup.
And
I think they're brilliant, and you want to progress as far as you can, but at times you want to, you know, we beat Man United last year. I mean, I know it's no great shakes now, but we beat big teams in the past in the Carabao Cup.
I hope my dad's listening. We beat Spurs.
Yeah,
that was mint. What a night that was. But yeah, you're right. It's what we do in the cup. We turn up on big cup nights. So
they're a bit dodgy on the road at times.
I just thought we don't do what we did against Brighton. We got absolutely pummeled against Brighton.
I think it might be televised, you know, because when you look at the cup draw, other than the Arsenal Liverpool game and Sunderland Newcastle, I don't think there's any tastier tie than Middlesbrough against Aston Villa. No. So they normally pick 4 or 5, don't they, for the FA Cup. So I can see us being on the telly.
Yeah, they have matches on from Friday through to Monday, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
So, I think there's about 5 or 6 games advertised third round weekend. So, yeah, we might be one. There you go.
Well, let's hope it's a Saturday night and not a Sunday lunchtime. You know, a decent time.
Yeah.
If we do get televised, that is.
Yeah, not worse than a Sunday lunchtime game. Hate that. Right. Saturday's game. It's easy to say, are we going to make changes for Saturday? Because the big answer is yes. Let's face it, because half the squad's on the floor. Coaches, you said, I mean, you're one of a few that have said, you fancies against anyone at home. This Ipswich team are a very, very good team. They're not falling away. They're still keeping up with Leicester very well. Is it the same approach we had against Leicester? Do we go, because they're another team that they come at you and play out from the back as we do.
I'm expecting an exciting game. as you'll see by my score prediction.
Well, I can't wait for this then.
I think there'll be goals.
It's a number generator back out.
There'll be goals in it, and I fancy us to win, to be honest. I've just. I've started really well, but going forward, I think we can score goals against anyone, and I'm going for Laugh 4-2 on Saturday.
There you go. I'm saying nothing because I said last Saturday, so it's fine. And I wasn't far off, to be fair. But, yeah, you don't know, do you? I was expecting something worse because I saw Daly's eyes and I thought they were going to pop out of his head. So I didn't know what was coming there. But, yeah, there's a lot of changes we've got to make. It's very put yourself in. I mean, I know we haven't mentioned it yet. Someone's mentioned it, obviously, on Facebook. Are we putting Johnny Howson at right back? He's doing it far.
I've just a right back. I think it's more likely Vandenberg goes right
Justin
back.
Justin White, wow.
And Clark goes into centre half, to be honest. Because we don't have any midfielders.
That's a very good point. Who with?
I know, but we don't have. If we take Housen out of midfield, who have we got?
But if you put Vandenberg at right back, who have we got?
Well, you can put Clark in then.
With who?
Half.
With who?
Who with?
Somebody else.
We haven't got anyone.
If we take Housen out of midfield, we've got no midfield. If none of these players are back, and Barlas is your starting centre and midfielder, we are in trouble for me.
I think we might see one of either Hackney or Dale Fry back personally. I mean, you know, I'm hoping it's Hackney.
I'm praying.
And we can keep Vandenberg and Clark as the two centre halves.
Yeah.
If Dale's back, I'm changing my prediction to Laugh 2-4. What a joke.
Yeah, it was good having you on the podcast.
I mean, you might go Bangura one side, England the other.
Maybe.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Vanderberg and.
Do you go three at the back and have wing backs?
No. Carrick won't change the formation. Won't
happen. I mean, I know, because we've got suspensions as well now. Jones is suspended. He got booked Saturday. I'm pretty sure Crooks got booked Saturday. He's suspended.
Forward wise, yeah, but we've got Greenwood back, haven't we? Who was cup tied.
Yeah. Did you say Crooks is suspended? Do you think he is?
Yeah, I'm sure he got booked Saturday. I'm sure he did.
He did.
I mean, I know,
he got booked. They never said he was suspended, though.
Yeah, there's been nothing mentioned in the press about him being suspended.
I'm sure it's his fifth yellow card in the league. I'm sure. I mean, if I'm wrong, happy days.
The cup doesn't count, does it? So
that's why I said fifth yellow card in the league, mate.
No, all right, okay.
I know you're saying that, but I think it was something to do with the cup as well, where has he already served the suspension?
Yeah, I'll have to have a look. If I'm wrong, happy days. I'm delighted with that. But that's what we could contend with now as well. We've got suspensions coming in.
Yeah,
funnily enough, there actually Daly mentioned before we started the show that Hoppy's back.
Hoppy,
because the American team haven't took their option on him. So he might be an option for the bench on Saturday, so that's something to look forward to.
He can't play for until January.
Damn.
Oh, my absolute disappointment.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, to be honest.
Poor lad. That's brutal. Right. I mean, that's why I've not asked you what changes would you make, because let's face it, right, you'd be getting Joe Bloggs from row 17 and block 25 in, because we're that desperate at the moment, so I'm not going to ask you, but you've already gone gung-ho. Daly, are you going to vote if we won one?
One each. Sam Morsey first goal, and I'll go second goal for the player. Obviously, for our purposes, I'm going to say Borough goal scorer, Engel.
You can put Sam Morsey if you want.
Tell you what, if you all won a few easy pounds on Saturday, Sam Morsey to be booked 100%. Gets booked every game.
If you want to double that up, have him with a long goal. Morsey in the long goal, is he midfield? Studs galore.
Disclaimer, don't spend your mortgage money on this, because if you know how we're betting this season, you'll know we're not great at it. Who did you go? Engel, what?
One each.
Of course he went one each. You might as well have wrote 1-1 before he started. John Don put two fingers up, not them two fingers, two fingers up, saying 1-1 straight away. John Don, I'll go to you then. Prediction for Saturday.
Yeah, 3-1 Borough. Keep our good home form going.
Wow, okay.
Obviously, we're in the dark as to what team we'll put out, whether any lads come back from injuries, the likes of Fry, Hackney, whether McNair is back, we don't know. But as it stands now, I'll say 3-1 Borough and Coburn as an any-time goal scorer.
Okay. Dicko?
Just what John said there, we don't know what's going to happen. So I'll go 3-2 Middlesbrough, and I'll see Rodgers to score.
Okay. I'll go 2-0 Borough. And I fancy Vandenberg to get a goal. There you go. There's my prediction. But
Hand of Berg
to get a goal. But before I say goodbye to you all, I'm going to let John Don finish up. What are you doing?
I was just going to say,
if you pipe down, I'll let John Don finish, because you're a busy man Saturday, John, aren't you? Before the game.
Yes, just like to remind anybody watching this or listening later that we've got a collection point at the North Stand from midday till 3 o'clock, collecting for the Middlesbrough Food Bank. Yeah. So you can bring along any tins or cans or packets of pasta or whatever for the food bank, or make a monetary donation. And also collecting for the foundation. I think they're collecting clothes, any clothes you want that can be given out to needy families. Toys for Christmas, again, for people who are finding their finances over Christmas extremely stretched.
Yeah.
So if you could... If you could just maybe buy something to drop off, whether it be a toy, whether it be a soft toy, whether it be go through some old clothes or jackets, coats, you know, that you haven't used, that you were going to throw out or take the charity shop, bring them down. We'll take them off your hands, and they're just going to go towards. People who find it difficult to get by. The response previously has been superb. I expect the same again, but I just urge you, just help out your fellow Teessiders, and I'll be there up until kickoff. Come down, just have a chat. Just tell me that I'm a knobhead on the podcast or whatever you want to do. I don't mind. Just come and have a chat.
I'll not do that, John.
Oh.
You'll be going up there about five times, you dig up. So just before we do go, I'm sure all the lads will join me in wishing our host a happy birthday for tomorrow. Steve does a lot of work behind the scenes and we all appreciate it, so you have a good day tomorrow, Steve.
Thanks, mate.
Happy birthday, Jabbo.
45.
Get that Gaviscon and Jägerbomb mixed down.
I'm saving that for Port Vale, mate. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, I've got some stuff to do with the podcast tomorrow as well, so I've learned how to clip stuff, so them two arguments going to be all over social media before you know it.
If you know,
and Lee, I'm not 42, I'm not even 32, I'm 33, so right, go back in your box. Right, anyway, I am going to say goodbye to you now. Yes, if you can, donate something on Saturday. If you haven't got your ticket yet, because we've got very limited numbers in our block now, so yeah, get yourself in, get yourself among us. It's class. It's proper atmosphere up there. We don't need things to help us. So that's all I'm saying. Yes, it'd be good. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see all you lads Saturday. And yeah, have a good week.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Be seeing you.
Up the Borough, boys.
Up the Borough.
See you Saturday.